It's always a joy to have Esther speak to us. We're in a series at the moment called The Practice of Jesus, and we're looking at the things that Jesus did regularly to connect with the Father, and the regular patterns and rhythms we can establish in our life, in our lives, to help us to connect with God. So Esther's speaking to us today on solitude. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lady, and we pray that you speak to her powerfully through us. We want to encounter you today as Esther speaks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those of you who know me, the fact that I'm speaking on silence and solitude would be quite a shock. Why Esther? And I'm sure many of you may crave silence and solitude and think, Esther, I'm so busy, I couldn't imagine anything better than a silent retreat in the middle of the country. That would be my worst nightmare. What Chris said this morning, we're going to talk about what does it mean to connect with God. Some of you might be stuck in your relationship with God, and what I feel God is going to use me to speak this morning is how do we allow the kind of living waters to flow through us. Those of you who might know Lizzie Everard, about 15 years ago, so she's a lady who goes, she, for me, is the epitome of silence and solitude. Esther, I'm just going to settle down with the Lord for hours and just hear his voice. And she said, Esther, I see in you that you really struggle with that. Let's go to the prayer center and we'll spend some time just settling down with the Lord. And I was going, oh no, crap. Anyway, so we went up there and we did that. And she said, Esther, I don't really know how to help you. You are so restless in your mind. You are so restless in your heart and your body. I don't know what to do. And some of you might relate to that, of not being able to settle down. And for me, probably the whole of my life was kind of, how do I self-protect? How do I not allow myself to feel those deep, deep emotions and feelings that can be so scary and can cause such anxiety? And so to get in a place where you're still and silent with God and to allow those feelings and emotions to come up, I didn't even want to go there. I'm just going to do a little illustration, which I actually found quite helpful. Can you be my assistant? Could you just hold the bowl of water up and just kind of move it around a bit? Just kind of not, just shake it a bit. And sometimes this is our lives, we're a bit busy, and it just takes time to settle. And when it settles, we can see, we kind of come face to face. We see our reflection. We can see, oh, that's who I am, and that's who God is. It allows us to kind of see who God is. And do you see your reflection? Katie's face to face with herself in the stillness and the quietness. If you don't remember anything, just remember that. What does it look like just to settle down? As many of you know, Jesus often went to solitary places, into the wilderness. Before he chose the 12, he spent a whole night in prayer. When he found out that John the Baptist had died, he went off into a boat to a lonely place. He had that connection, that internal solitude and silence. And even in the busyness of life, he had that internal stillness. In December last year, we moved house. I've been living in Clifton for 22 years, living with friends. I've never lived on my own. And Jo, my housemate, is here. I live with her and her family with 7 adults and 3 children. Not the ideal recipe for silence and solitude. And this is kind of where my journey started, really, of... When you move out, well, it's not really in the country, it's Backwell. I mean, it's not in the middle of nowhere. But there is a stillness and a darkness. There's no streetlights. There's no cars that go past. You hear the birds singing. There's no people walking on the street, drunk. There's no noise. And we arrived in Backwell in the middle of winter. And I thought, oh, this is just so still. This is just so quiet. And I remember between Christmas and New Year, I sat down in our lounge and everyone was out. And I just sat there. And it probably took me 2 hours just to settle myself. You know, when you can feel in yourself, your mind is racing, your heart is racing, but your spirit goes, I need to connect with God. How do I do that? And I knew I just had to stop. I just be on my own. And so for 2 hours, I just sat there in the stillness. And then I heard God speak. And one of the, I think, silence and solitude isn't the thing that we do. We do it to connect with God, but that's not the end goal, to be silent and in solitude. But it's a vehicle to enable us to meet with God and for God to meet with us. I haven't done any of my PowerPoints. So there it is. Great. That's what solitude is. Intentional time in the quiet to be alone with ourselves and with God. And in that place, when I was sat there, God spoke to me and he gave me a picture of an egg timer. And he said, as the sand goes through, there's going to be a settling, Esther, in your spirit as the sand settles. I'm going to bring a peace and a settledness and a groundedness and a rootedness that you've not known before. And in that stillness and the quiet, I something happened in my spirit. I kind of came alive. I thought, oh, this is connection. This is spirit to spirit connection. In John 4, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, he said there will be a time when the worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. And some of you might not be listening to what I'm saying, but there will be, God will be speaking to your spirit. And God can only work with truth, and that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And Ephesians, what's that? How do I go back? So Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And in that stillness, that knowing, not just, oh no, I know God is God, he made the world, but a knowing, a deep, 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 deep knowing that God is God, that I am his. This is a Passion translation. Great new translations that just come out. Great birthday presents if you want to get one for someone. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving and you will see that I am God. I'm amazed the number of people I've spoken to who suffer from anxiety. I myself have for many years. And I love that version. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop your striving and you will see that I am God. Ephesians, this is, Ephesians 3, when I was in that place and had that image of that egg time, when God said to me, I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. For me, to be rooted and grounded and established in love, to be grounded, rooted, and established in God, that for me is my journey of what I'm learning to take time out to be in silence and in solitude, and it grounds me and it roots me. I've spent a lot of my time in life just trying to attach myself to different people, going, will you give me fulfillment? Will you give me meaning? Will you show me if I'm worth something? And God says, Esther, now is your time and now is your season. I'm not saying you're all going to go now away and practice this. God knows the season of when you need to walk in this. I'm 43 years old. I'm sure God's been pursuing, I know God's been pursuing me for many, many years. He's engineered my circumstances that I'm out in the country. It's still and it's quiet. Joe will know I'm such a procrastinator. I was trying to write my talk. She said, Joe, Esther, have you written your talk? No, I've watched 2 episodes of Friends. Haven't started writing my talk. Sometimes silence and solitude, you don't want to be there. You don't want to be in that place. You don't know what's going to come up. So my journey of this started in December, and I was faced with myself, and I think that's what happens. To be still in your bedroom or wherever it is, wherever your place where you meet with God, wherever you're walking. And I had to sit there and go, what is it I'm afraid of? Do I really trust God of my life? Do I really trust God of my friendships? Do I really believe he has plans to prosper me and not to harm me? Plans to give me a hope and a future? And I had to wrestle with these things. Do I really believe that he knows the desires of my heart? That he can fulfill those desires? Some of my dreams and desires are so deep, I'm too scared to put them into words in case they don't happen. And when you sit there with God, these things start to bubble up. And I was in a place where I wanted these things to bubble up. I wanted to be free of the things that held me. And I wanted that kind of living water to flow through me and to have that life. And what happens, it's like you're exposed, like you feel naked. And I was talking to Sheena about this talk, and she said, it's like Mr. Ben. Do you remember Mr. Ben? The program, is it Mr. Ben? And he's in this changing room, and every time he goes out, he wears a different set of clothes, and he's this different person every time. And in that, and it's like when we're in that, you know, don't worry about the illustration, doesn't really make sense. But when it's just us and God, and it's that vulnerability and that choosing to say, God, this is me. I have no self-protective layers anymore. I give them to you. I surrender those to you. Come and do a deep work in me. And I know probably for you, for me as well, there's always something in our hearts that we don't want to give to God. There's always something that is too painful to say, I don't want you to go there. I don't know what I'm going to be like. I don't know who I'm going to be if I surrender this to you. It's too painful. But at the same time, God is so kind and so loving and so gentle. And for me, I've had to go there and I've had to say, God, this is an area of my heart that is so... It's been part of me for so long. How do I even let it go? Where do I even start? And one thing that I've learnt is sometimes we see ourselves not as whole people, but we maybe see us as whole, but there's a part of us that's broken. And I just want to... I don't actually think that's true. God sees us as whole people. There are parts of me that need a bit more healing or restoration, but I am whole. In Jesus' eyes, we are whole people. And I think to kind of get away from that mindset of, this is me, but there's an area of my life, don't even go there, don't touch it. That's the broken bit. I'm not even going to reveal that. I'm not even going to open that area up to God. And I was sharing this with a friend, and she had this beautiful image of me surrendering a butterfly. Like, it's a very fragile thing, and if you clench your fist, it will crush and it will die, but it's so fragile. And that's what it felt like. I said, God, I'm surrendering this area of my life to you. It's so fragile, but I release it. And that for me was a very encouraging, affirming image to have in my mind. And I think what I've learned in that quiet place is to be fully known and fully loved. And I think no human words can really... I can't do justice to the kind of love of God. I can't express that. Only God can meet you in that place. But I don't know if you've ever spoken to a friend and you poured out your heart, or you've had areas of shame that you've not exposed, and you start to share it, and they still love you. If anything, they love you even more because they see that struggle. And I think, well, with God, to be fully known and fully loved, that is an extraordinary, it's the most freeing feeling and experience, to know the love of Christ that is so deep and so wide and so high and so deep. There's nothing outside of his redemption, outside of his cross. This was a really helpful quote, Richard Foster from Celebration of Discipline. Loneliness is inner emptiness, but solitude is inner fulfillment. I was really fearful of being quiet and still, in fear of what would come up in my, what I would experience. I think emotional pain is the most painful of pain. You can't, what do you do with it? We find ways to numb it. Loneliness, I've experienced loneliness, and I work with people who are homeless and vulnerable, probably the most lonely, well, I can't say the most lonely, but they've experienced rejection and abandonment, and they come to us in a sense of community and belonging. Mother Teresa says loneliness is the biggest killer on the earth, and I believe that. But solitude is inner fulfillment. To be able to be alone and not lonely, to be able to be alone and to know that fulfillment and to know that presence of God. And that's the journey that I'm on. I'm just at the beginning. I'm like, oh, I actually want to be alone. I want to just, you know, go to my room and a bit of quiet, because I know that I'm not alone. And that's something that only God can do in you. Only God can do that. I love the story of the Samaritan woman. I won't read it all, but just to summarize. So Jesus went to the well. There was a woman there who was there at noon. In those days, when women went to the well, it was the social highlight of the day. They would chat with their friends. This woman was there on her own in the heat of the midday sun. Why? She'd had 5 husbands. She was probably an outcast from her community, rejected, isolated. To be rejected by 5 men, that's a lot of rejection to deal with. That's a lot of shame. What Jesus did, so he met her at the well. He initiated the encounter. He initiated the conversation, and he asked her for a drink. And she was like, whoa, what are you doing? 1, you're a man. 2, you're a Jew. You do not talk to me. She was totally, totally surprised at the way Jesus reacted and responded to her. The religious tradition of the day was like, you do not mix with me. You do not even come close to me. And my challenge to myself and to us are, what are those religious mindsets that say, Jesus, you don't want to, I don't believe you want to come and heal me. I don't believe that I'm worthy of your love, the religiousness of it. Your love can't deal with that. Your love cannot heal those emotional wounds. You're not even willing and you're not even able. This woman was totally shocked. And Jesus said, the living water. She wanted the living water. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so they won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And then he prophesied. He says, you've had five husbands. He knew everything about her. She came with all this stuff. She was there in solitude. He met her in that space of solitude and said, I know you. I know your past. I know why you're here at noon. I know why you're not with the other women. And he said, I fully accept you. I fully love you. And I'm going to give the gift of eternal life to you. I'm going to give you the springs of living water that will just well up to eternal life. And then the wonderful thing was, she then went back to her community, and her community was saved. So the people, she said, you've got to meet this man. He's told me everything about my life. And she was an evangelist. She then, God used her to transform her community. And I think one of the biggest things that prevents us from connecting with God and with other people is shame. Shame isn't, this is what I've done. Shame is more, this is who I am. And God says, as we see from the story, God invaded this woman's life. And he freed her from her shame and released her to bring life and hope back to her community. And that's what God does in us. We've all got stories of where we've held on to stuff and then we've brought it into the light and had freedom, and maybe there's still areas of our lives and don't go there. But as we allow God to minister to us, he said, then he'll use us to bring that hope to other people. In my job, I meet people who have done awful things. They've been treated awfully and they've done awful things. To give opportunity to people to speak and express, this is what I've done, this is what I feel, is such a healing thing. I suppose my my journey to bring the whole of myself to God is one, the most painful thing, but also the most wonderful thing. And sometimes I feel like I'm a new Christian. I'm just learning. Oh, this is what God is like, and it's wonderful, and to know that groundedness, and that rootedness, and that connectedness with God, is wonderful. And any of you think, oh, Esther, that's great, but I've got seven children, and I'm got a job, and I'm just so busy. I've just got no time. Even if it is for 1 minute a day. Or 5 minutes a day, just having that quiet, that stillness, and go, God, I'm here. You don't have to say anything, you don't have to do anything, but just getting that practice in. Psalm 27, verse 8, my heart says of you, seek your face, Lord, I will seek. We were created for connectedness, and the enemy will do anything to prevent us from that connectedness, that deep connection with him. So I was just praying for me before I spoke, and he had this image of the when the river flows, there are things that get in the way, like sticks, and it can kind of form a dam. It can stop the water flowing. And I think that my I've had that in my life, in places where I'm stuck. And so maybe you might know, actually, this is an area where I'm really stuck in, and I need that release of those twigs, of that dam, to allow the living water to flow. So that was just something that he mentioned. So thanks for listening. Amen.
Thank you, Esther. I love the way you share that. I think one of the things I always love about Esther and the way she shares her life is she shares her life so openly and so transparently, and that's really powerful. Thank you. I think we're going to worship, Silas. Is that right? Going to sing? No, we're all going to. No, not you today. No. We'll go a bit higher. We want to do some praying as well as a bit of ministry. And shortly, parents will need to go and collect their children. But if you want to have some prayer, then do bring them back in. And the idea, we're moving more to this kind of table format because we're recognizing that church is a transactional time. Sometimes that's just on our own, but sometimes it involves chatting with other people and praying something through. So always feel welcome to do that. Equally, if you'd rather just keep to yourself, then that's fine too. So we want to do a bit of praying, just following on from Sam's testimony and Jonathan's testimony. We want to pray a bit into food allergies and some of those things, if that's a thing for you. Then we'll do a bit of that. And Annie had a couple of words as well about, in fact, could we have those now? This morning about just following on from the solitude theme from Esther.
Yeah, actually, it's almost exactly what Esther's been talking about, so that's encouraging. So the sense was that there's someone who avoids solitude because of the noises in their head, because of the, you know, exactly what Esther was describing, that there is somebody who you just thought, yep, that's me, that's me, that's me. It'd be great for you to pray with somebody. And then also somebody who's confused solitude with loneliness. And today you've realized that actually what you're feeling is lonely. God wants you to know that he puts the lonely in families. And that's part of what hope is all about. And the third thing was somebody who is not sure if you're hearing God or not. You're trying to listen to God, but you're just not confident that it's God. And he wants you to know that his sheep hear his voice, and so you will hear him. So, but it'd be great if you feel that those things are particularly you, do make sure that you either share it with somebody on your table and pray, or come and find one of us to pray with if you don't want to pray with people next to you.